myself one.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today is December 13th, 2016, and this is the House Special Committee on Small Business Growth. I've always enjoyed emphasizing the special part of the work that we've done here, because I think it is special. I mean that quite sincerely. Over the course of the last 8 months, this committee has listened patiently to a number of industry clusters that represent a variety of different kinds of small businesses. We have listened to advocates of the small business community. We've talked to people from state agencies and from organizations. And through the course of that 8-month journey, we have stumbled across what I described in our early meetings as a number of nuggets. We were mining for nuggets, and we encountered a lot of them. And over the course of that process, we burdened our excellent staff with the task of trying to winnow out those nuggets and distill them into a number of proposals for us. And we have now come to the point where we're ready to take a look at those specific proposals and turn them into proposed legislation. And let me tell you that that going through all of the testimony and all of the presentations that we heard was, I think, not only fascinating when we all sat through it up here, but I think particularly interesting when Ms. Nordland then was tasked with trying to sort out what we had heard and organize it a little bit better. And then after she had brought together a series of different concepts, Co-Chair Smith and I joined together with her and looked over that list in detail to then distill them down to the group of 14. What have we got? About 14?
I think there's 8 that we came forward, and now 4 more. 12.
So 12. Well, I was close. All right. So we've got a dozen pieces of legislation that that we would like to present to you today, and then with your approval, we will move those forward as committee bills. So is there any question about the process that we went through, or are you ready to hear from Ms. Nordland? And I'll invite her to summarize each of the proposals for you. And if there's no questions at the end of that process, we'll move into a work session. Ms. Nordland,
okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair and committee members. The first two are very, very similar, LC 1781 and LC 1801. Representative Smith had a particular interest. This is to improve service that the CPAs and business representatives receive when they're trying to have answers from the Department of Revenue. So it requires the Department of Revenue to set up a toll-free hotline, one for CPAs, the second one is for business reps to handle those questions. LC 2628 is the New Markets Tax Credit. The committee heard testimony from Craig Campbell and a client that he's representing to bring back the New Markets Tax Credit that had expired, might be the wrong word, but basically there was no more money for the tax credit. So that is back in LC 2628. And jumping, the one that you have a hard copy, LC 1636, that was just brought in, that also is a New Markets Tax Credit. It is a little bit different. It has a piece in there about affordable housing. But those two are on the New Markets Tax Credit.
So, I'll ask.
Representative.
Well, so I'd like to understand. So we have the two that deal with New Market Tax Credit. Do both of them then extend the credit, or I mean make money, a certain amount of money available again for the new tax credit? So like the one where we've got the $300 million, so does the other one that allocates a certain portion to housing also use the figure $300? I have $300 million.
I'm not clear on, I just saw the new one that came in. So on the affordable housing, I don't know if Representative Leininger has an answer to that.
You know, we have one of the advocates here, if you wanted to, after this part or before this part, if we wanted to hear more about it, we definitely could. But it contemplates that a percentage of the allocation would be available to support affordable housing construction as well as other uses. So it sort of encompasses to include the current crisis of affordable housing access in the scope of things that could be funded, potentially using that source.
Yes. And they both have $24 million in tax credits available in any 1 year. So that is the same in both
bills,
both LCs.
So it'd be 48 million per bill? In a biennium?
It's 24 million in any tax year, it says.
So that'd be 48 in a biennium.
Okay. Representative, will we answer your question, or do you want some more information on that?
I think I'm all right at this moment.
All right. Representative Hack.
Thank you, Chair. Just curious, do we know what percentage will be allocated to housing? It just says a percentage. Do we have any idea? Is it 50% of it, 60%, 20%?
So I think that that's part of it to be determined. My vision in the in accepting, or may I respond to that?
Please.
My vision with respect to this is that, and I think that it's possible that both of the LCs were requested by the same people, is that it would be part of the conversation about how an allocation, perhaps the same allocation, of New Markets tax credits might be available for use, and that would be through a competitive process, the specific parameters of which get developed if the legislation is passed and funded. So one of the elements for how it could be used is potentially to help support construction of affordable housing projects, subject to all the competition and allocation and parameters to be developed.
Representative Hack, you good with that, or did you want some more information from anyone? Representative Eskimo.
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe the representative can answer a question. Does this allocation go specifically? Who determines where this money goes, these credits go? Is it just anyone statewide? Is it specifically Portland? Is it rural? Mm-hmm. Is there a breakdown?
Mm. That's a good point.
Because I'm going to have a problem with it if it just goes to Portland. I'll begin with you.
Mr. Campbell, can you enlighten us a little bit more?
Yes, Mr. Campbell.
He wants to, I can tell.
And, of course, if you can just introduce yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Craig Campbell. I'm here on behalf of the Coalition for Capital, and they're the two bills. Both of us have our fingerprints on them. The answer to the question is that the location of those is market-driven. It's based upon where the need is, and it can go anywhere in the state as long as it meets the requirement of either being in a low-income census tract area, or they employ those who are under a certain threshold of the poverty level. And so the last set that went out, which was $200 million worth of investment, was throughout the entire state. Its split was about 60% urban, 40% rural. So we had folks all the way from Ontario to the South Coast. So it's but it's not determined by the department that oversees it. Their role is to allocate a certain amount of these credits to entities that are approved at the federal level, and then those folks make investments where needed with small business throughout the state.
Other questions? Ms. Nordland? Thank you, Mr. Campbell.
Well, those are the complicated LCs, so moved past those. LC 2636 is proposing that there be set up three small business ombudsman positions within the lottery commission, within the lottery department, that would be tasked with assisting businesses who want to be a game retailer, or maybe they already are and they have questions about compliance, or maybe they want to expand. So it's providing a better service to small businesses interested in offering lottery services.
So, excuse me, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative.
I'm not well versed in the lottery and how it works necessarily. I understand about the merchants, but is there a limited number that is available? I'm trying to understand. So what if we're going to try to assist people in applying? Are there limited numbers, or can the number can just go on forever with them if they meet a certain criteria to be a place that has lottery games?
Representative Smith?
Yeah, let me share with you the history on this. Professionally, I work with small business owners in economic development, and one of the things we found is that within the Oregon State Lottery, that they don't have folks there who can just step up and share with small business owners how the rules work, how statute works, how rules work. And so what we're trying to do is figure out how to get some three positions in there, divided up regionally, who can just serve as an information source for business owners when they call in. I mean, that's simple. So sure. I'm a restaurant owner. I want to add lottery. I need someone to come share with me what are the rules.
So we assume, though, there are opportunities available.
Oh, yeah, very much so. Okay. Very much so.
Question.
Very much so.
And Representative Escobar.
Yeah, what do they do now?
So it's interesting. Let me share with you an experience. And again, I want to be very transparent. I do economic development. I work with business owners as a profession. And so we had a situation over in Ontario where we got contacted the Oregon State Lottery, said we have a restaurant owner who would like to put lottery machines in. And didn't share with them as a legislator. I shared with them as just purely economic development. And it was absolutely horrible, the treatment that our office and this business owner's office received. So then at that point, I started asking questions. Again, didn't display as a legislator, just kept talking professionally, saying, gosh, is there an opportunity for you to come out here and meet with the business owner and just go through the restaurant and have a conversation with them? We don't do that. We come out once a year. We were out there 3 months ago. These are the rules. So at that point, I started even asking more probing questions of how do we handle this? If the business owner has questions, well, you do it, and then we'll let you know if it's done correctly. And at that point in time, it was obvious to me we had a problem.
Mr.
The
Chair,
lottery.
Maybe we should change the wording in here and send somebody to customer service school.
It was horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
Representative Escobar, I think your point's well taken. In reviewing the situation here, I think it came down to the simple matter that we'd all be a lot more productive if we could help people get it right rather than coming in as a state and telling them that they got it wrong.
Exactly.
Exactly right. You're dead on, Mr.
Okay.
Chair.
Thank you.
And I would just share with the committee, I mean, if I would have tipped my hand and said, this is Representative Smith, the tone of the conversation would have changed that quick. But as soon as they thought they were dealing, you know, with just a small business owner, it was horrible. And that's what prompted me to drop this legislation.
Please, Representative Smith.
Co-Chair Smith, a question. Was it kind of like...
Will the co-chair yield?
was it kind of like, we're here to do you a favor?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And what really complicated this, and I know we don't want to waste a lot of time on this, restaurant owners are trying to decide what level of investment they're going to make. And based upon that investment, the ability to partner with the lottery is an opportunity they want to pursue, but they want to do it correctly. Mm-hmm. And literally what was shared with this business owner is, you make your investment, and then we'll tell you what you qualify for. Well, that's backwards in financing.
Right.
Because lottery plays a role in the ability for businesses to obtain.
Okay.
I mean, it was a bizarre situation.
Any other questions on 2636? All right.
LC 2704 would require that the Business Development Department set up a voluntary registry for commercial interior designers. And it states in the LC what the interior designer can and cannot do if they're voluntarily on the registry.
I'm sorry.
Representative Lively,
out of the loop or something. So I'm trying to understand. So what's the intent, or what's the problem, or what's missing here for commercial interior designers that we would have a registry of that?
Good opportunity for Ms. Tercey. You have to come up and give us a quick overview of the issue that this bill addresses.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chairs. Representative Lively for the question, the opportunity. Nikki Terziev here on behalf of the Interior Design Council of Oregon, IDC Oregon. Essentially, what we're looking to do is lift up a little bit of a marketplace, raise the profile of commercial interior designers, build in some accountability for consumers who may find themselves being able to hire anyone who holds themselves out to be a commercial interior designer, having the state registry voluntary, not mandated.
Right.
But having the state registry will allow designers to say, I have met a certain set of criteria that the state has approved of, be it education, be it liability insurance, be it employment practices, whatever may get set out in rule. It's vague so that we can have that discussion of the details in the rulemaking process at DCBS. We're anticipating that that'll be fee-funded, and so ultimately should balance out its fiscal and create jobs and great spaces.
Mr. Chair.
I was just going to say, under the current circumstances, I could present myself as a interior designer.
Correct,
Mr.
Chair.
I don't think so, Mr.
Yikes.
Chair.
Now you understand the problem we're trying to address.
So,
please.
So So the question then becomes, and I understand what you're trying to accomplish, so the Business Development Department, I mean, we have a lot of different agencies that people register with, that controls credentials and that, and so I'm trying to understand why it's the Business Development Department versus somebody else. I guess I don't, so who oversees architects or who oversees engineers or, I mean...
Mr. Co-Chairs, Representative Lively, they do, I believe, the architects and engineers, and I don't represent those two groups. I believe they have their own kind of governing bodies and boards. We were faced with a couple of questions. You know, one was, do you try to create your own board? Yeah. And that, for some reasons that are apparent and some that are not apparent, isn't an excellent path for us. Finding a seat within an existing board became mm-hmm. difficult. You know, you need to kind of be invited into somebody's home, and that was starting to be a struggle. The conversation had been going on for years, and so when we discovered the innovation fund at DCBS, which some of these fees could go into, which would then in turn assist other small business development, we thought that would be a good home.
Thank you.
Other questions?
You mentioned DCBS twice, but the bill does say business development. So were you thinking of a revision later that it would be DCBS? Because it's Business Development Department currently.
Oh.
It's intended to be
Mr. Co-Chairs and Jan, yes.
Okay. A revision later.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. I feel better. I understand.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much. Ms. Nordland.
Okay. So moving along to LC 2708. This involves small business development centers. The committee heard from multiple people about the work of the SBDCs, and we heard that they're limited in using, they may not use their federal money for any outreach services. So this bill would allow funding that they receive from the state of Oregon to be used for marketing and outreach.
I'll just comment at this point. My observation of the SBDCs is they're one of the best kept secrets in the state of Oregon, and that they could be doing a lot more good work if they simply had the ability to help people understand the good work they do.
Just, Mr. Co-Chair, if I can.
Please.
Just to add to that, just as a reminder to the committee members, right now SBDCs are prohibited from using their resources to use traditional marketing means to get their word out, and this would be one way for us to take that best kept secret and make it no longer a secret.
Hard to sell secret.
Okay.
Please.
LC 2775, the committee heard from the beer and wine industries mm-hmm. asking for the property tax exemption that food processors currently have. And so that's what LC 2775 does. It extends it to those who are producing for products for the breweries, wineries, and cannabis, that they could be receiving the exemption for their newly acquired machinery or equipment. LC 2877 is also involving alcohol. From the public hearing that the committee had, we heard that there is a desire for those who are the beer and wine producers to be able to make electronic reportings to the OLCC. There's monthly requirements that they report and pay their excise tax. They would like to be able to do that electronically. So this is a bill that requires OLCC to set that up.
So,
Mr. Chair. Senator Lively.
So the assumption I'm making here, so this has to do with technology. So I'm assuming that, so while this bill directs that, this bill is going to have a fiscal that relates to what investment they're going to have to make in order to set that up.
That would be the next step.
Yes.
Okay, there are three that I think they've been added to OLIS. They just came in right prior to the meeting. LC 1421, and if anyone would like a copy, we'll run it off. They are online. LC 1421 allows liquor stores and distillery retail agents to sell wine. Okay. LC 1419 allows brew pubs to also hold an off-premise sales license.
Mm-hmm.
I think that allows for the direct shipping,
yeah.
And mm-hmm. That's 1419. And the final one, LC 1420, changes the definition of cider for purposes of alcohol control laws, and it allows alcohol, changes the definition of cider for purposes of alcohol control laws and alcohol taxation laws. It exempts licensees that produce only cider from certain winery license requirements regarding federal permits.
Okay.
they wouldn't have to hold the federal permit if only if they were only producing cider and not cider and wine. That was 1420, and that is all of them.
Well, thank you, Ms. Nordland. An interesting variety of proposals here, stretching from interior designers to tax credits to the lottery to cannabis and alcohol. So are there any questions about the proposals before I move to a work session? All right, then I will close the informational meeting, and I will open a work session for introduction of committee legislative concepts. Co-Chair Smith.
You bet. Mr. Co-Chair, I move the following LCCs be pre-session filed for introduction as committee bills. LC 1781, dated October 28th, 2016. LC 1801, dated October 28th, 2016. LC 2628, dated November 15th, 2016. LC 2636, dated October 25th, 2016. LC 2704, dated December 5th, 2016. LC 2708, dated November 11th, 2016. LC 2775, dated October 6th, 2016. LC 2877, dated November 23rd, 2016. LC 1636, dated November 10th, 2016. LC 1421, dated October 11th, 2016. LC 1419, dated September 29th, 2016, LC 1420, dated September 30th, 2016, and LC 1636, dated November 10th, 2016.
Thank you, Co-Chair. I'll remind the members, of course, that that voting in favor of bill introductions does not indicate or constitute support for the measure later on. It simply moves forward the process of introducing them for pre-session filing. So Representative Smith has moved that the LCs he listed, and I won't repeat all of them, but the ones that he listed, be pre-session filed for introduction as committee bills. Is there any discussion? I see no discussion. Is there any objection? Then those measures will be filed on behalf of the committee, and I will close the work session. And Mr. Co-Chair, if I may, it seems to me that it's been an interesting process for us these last 8 months. I've been asked repeatedly what's going to happen to this committee once the formal session convenes. And the answer to that is I don't know. I think that there are a number of committees where these bills could be properly assigned, and if this committee existed, it would be one good place for these bills and many others. But I will leave it to people further up the food chain to determine whether or not this committee will meet as it has once we reconvene in the coming legislative session. I will share with you, however, the opinion that I have shared with others, that I think it would be useful one way or the other for a committee like this to continue into the next interim and to continue the exploration that that we have undertaken here. And I would say that we've done three things of value, and the first is that we've introduced a dozen bills, and that's no small thing. They may be small bills because we're dealing with small businesses, and we've learned, I think, certainly that small business entails niches, and each of those niches has unique challenges. So we've got a dozen bills that we've introduced, and that is no small thing. The second thing that we have accomplished is that that we have heard a great deal of testimony, a great deal of perspective, and I would hope that that the members of this committee can take that perspective forward into the coming legislative session when we discuss not only these measures, but all kinds of issues that pertain to small businesses across the state. And I think that's a valuable thing. And the final observation I would share with you is I think that there's something else that we've done which is quite important for small businesses, and that is simply that we've listened. We've sat, we've listened, and we've heard, and we've shared, and I think that that is something very often the small business community cries out for, is someone who's interested enough to take the time to get a better understanding of the challenges that they face on a day-to-day basis. So this will be the final meeting of the special committee, at least during the interim. I'm not sure what's ahead for us. I'd invite any of you, if you've got questions, comments, or observations. Representative Leininger.
Thank you so much, Mr. Co-Chair. And I want to compliment the co-chairs on running a really strong committee that I think was helpful. And I wanted to reflect also on the fact that I think it's exciting that we have just introduced as committee bills a number of bills to support expansion of the wine, distilled spirits, cider, and potentially also cannabis sectors in terms of reasonable economic opportunity that's well regulated, that will enable Oregon businesses, which are world-class good at creating some of these products, to have fewer regulatory barriers to being able to grow their business lines if market conditions and their business skills make that possible. And I think cutting the regulatory barriers for good businesses trying to grow is a really important theme that we've heard in our work, and I'm excited that we're looking at some bills that might support that. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Representative, yes. Representative, I'm
that
sorry.
Me?
Yeah, yes, you're on. You're yes.
I'm sorry.
You're Representative, yes.
Okay, I forgot my name for a second, but I appreciate that.
It happens at our age.
I do also appreciate the effort that's gone in and some of the legislation that we've introduced. So my concern remains, and as we started through this process, I had a concern, and I listened to it a lot from small businesses, that if indeed we're a small business state, which we are, there's still this issue that we heard a lot about the burden that we place upon small businesses. And so I go back to some of the testimony we heard that in many cases a small business is the owner and maybe his wife who volunteers part-time. They don't have HR departments. So I go through that litany of things. I'm not suggesting I have the answer, but I'm saying that that's part of the reason I would feel important that we keep some focus on small business in a special committee versus letting them keep in the bigger picture, because I don't think we haven't addressed that issue. And from my district, that continues to be a very large issue for business survival. We know that so many of them fail in the first 5 years. So, and we heard a lot that, I don't have the immediate answer here, but I just say that we have to keep a focus on it that's more than getting lost in some of the other committee discussions in the bigger bills somehow. So I would hope we find some way to do that.
Quite very well taken. Representative Escobar.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I had the honor to be the President and Vice President of Southern Oregon Regional Economic Development. There's a couple things that they expressed very wholeheartedly toward economic development. And one is retention, the other one's expansion. It's much easier to retain and expand a business than it is to recruit a business. So therefore, that's something we need to really zero in on is retention and expansion. But the thing that went hand in hand with that I learned from talking to these business people here is that there may be a little bit too much government regulations and access to capital. Those two things kept coming up. So I think we should keep that first and foremost in our minds, those four little issues there.
Excellent. Thank you. Representative Hack.
Thank you, Co-Chair. I think also there's still some work yet to be done on workforce. I mean, I think we heard that from every industry across the board, that quality workforce, lack of workforce, workforce with, you know, soft skills, that kind of thing. I don't remember anybody coming to us that didn't say they had an issue with workforce. And I don't see anything in our committee bills that addresses workforce. And I think there's still a lot of work that needs to be done in that area. And I don't have all the answers, but I know that I think that should also be on the forefront and that we need to continue the work.
Excellent. Co-chair?
You run a good gavel. I've really enjoyed working with you, Mr. Co-chair. You know, as a person that spends the vast majority of their time down in Ways and Means, I have to share with you, you do a really good job running the committee. I've enjoyed working with you.
That's very kind. Thank you.
And by the way, you're awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, thank you.
We're
thank
really you. Fortunate, Dan. You've done a great job for us.
I listened with attention and care to the comments that you're making up here, and particularly when we talk about workforce and we talk about regulatory burdens and when we talk about the need for financing for small business. Mm-hmm. And those are not reflected in the dozen concepts that we brought forward, but I hope that they will be reflected in the conversations that we have going forward in our respective caucuses and on the floor of the House and before a variety of different committees, that whether we serve on or appear before them. I think that's a perspective that we can bring, and we can reference the process that we've gone through here to support that. We've got a dozen bills, and those will be pre-session filed. If any of you are interested in taking a particular lead on any of those proposals, please let either the co-chairs or staff know that, and we'll let you take the lead, and we'll make sure there's people to support you. Otherwise, Co-Chair Smith and I may meet, even if the committee is disbanded, to make some post-committee assignments and share some of those dozen bills, or we ourselves will show up to take the lead on them. So I really want to thank all of you. I think it's been a valuable process and a worthwhile experience. I really want to thank my co-chair, who I, too, have enjoyed working very much with you, and I think that the nature of this committee, with equal membership from both caucuses and with co-chairs, has been worthwhile and a very positive example of how we can get these kind of things done. And I want to give a shout out to Patrick Brennan, who I hope is listening. He was our original staff person, and he did good work for us. And Ms. Nordland, who got to sweep up and to organize piles and help us make some sense of everything toward the end. Thank you all so much for that. And I want to thank, of course, all the businesses that came before us and shared their testimony, and the advocates that helped bring things together. We particularly made a point not to bring members of the Capital Club before the committee, but rather to bring living, breathing examples of small businesses before us. And that's an important distinction as well. With all due respect to the members of the Capital Club, thank you for bringing us your best.
All right, you're out of here.
Well, Mr. Co-Chair, I mean, the point needs to be made that most members of the Capital Club are small businesses as well.
That's true.
So there we are.
There we go.
That's true.
All right, well, before I dig myself in any deeper, anything else for the good of the order?
Thank goodness we're leaving.
All right. And Corey, thank you so much for keeping track of everything. The Special Committee on Small Business Growth is adjourned. On Small Business Growth is adjourned.